Mother's Day is May 12th. And in advance, Sona, happy Mother's Day.
Oh, thank you,
You're
Conan.
A terrific mom, and your kids are here today with
Did
us.
Did you get me a present?
Well, it's not May 12th yet, but I'm getting you one.
Okay, thank you.
Well, guess what? Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something from mom easy this year. You can shop by price category or browse curated gift lists ranging from for the mom who has everything to the gifts that are already wrapped and ready to be gifted. I like when you can go by price because I can go right down to the bottom. Get Liza something for a dollar. Sorry, baby. Top gifts include Beats headphones, digital photo frames, Polaroid cameras, and the Samsung Smart TV, The Frame.
Oh, yeah.
Shop now at Macy's.com/giftfinder. And happy Mother's Day, moms. Sona, how's your sock drawer looking?
It's messy. There's a lot of single socks.
Yep. I think it's time for a little spring cleaning.
Oh.
Check out Bombas. Once you try a pair, you'll never look at socks the same way again. I should know. I like my Bombas. Their spring collection has new garden party socks that bring the party to your feet. My feet have never been to a party. They've
so
got
sad.
Stripes and florals and new vintagey colored rib socks. You know, when I'm wearing Bombas, I feel like my feet are being caressed and cared for in a way they never have been in my life.
Hmm.
Get comfy this spring and give back with Bombas. Head over to bombas.com/Conan and use code Conan for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com/Conan and use code Conan at checkout.
Hello, my name is Natasha Lyonne, and I'm a totally normal person. And I feel blank about being Conan O'Brien's friend.
So do I.
Fall is here, hear the yell. Back to school, ring the bell. Brand new shoes, walking blues. Climb the fence, books and pens. I can tell that we are gonna be friends.
Hey there. Welcome to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, joined by my cohorts, Sona Movsesyan. Hey, Sona.
Hi.
And Matt Gourley.
Hi.
Matt, I think full disclosure is important. Matt has a very young daughter, and you got no sleep last night. And I just think it's good for the listeners to know what you're going through in real time. What time were you awakened?
12:45
Okay.
A.M.
And was it a screaming, crying thing?
It was, Mommy, I'm ready to go in the living room.
Oh,
my God. So fully ready to go. And she had like a double shot latte just before bed. Well, was there a reason why she woke up that?
Thought we'd put the heater on, but we put the air conditioner on. Mm. And whatever the story was, Amanda and Glenn went out to the living room and slept there. And then I did not fall back asleep at all. I was just up the entire, I have not slept since. And so I come to you what I am.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Which is a weird sentence. I come to you what, I mean, that sentence in and of itself is proof that you shouldn't be operating machinery, let alone co-hosting a podcast.
Not heavy machinery, not even light machinery like this. Oh my God.
I am what be I. Yeah. I remember neither of our children were great sleepers. And it kicks in later on. And now that they're teenagers, you can throw stones at them while they're sleeping and they won't get up.
So
and I often do because it's funny. I remember when my daughter was really young and she was in that phase where, you know, those little lights that you put in a room, you see them. I mean, now they're in households, they're everywhere. But if you enter the room, the light just goes on. It's a motion detector.
Yeah.
I remember realizing, oh, our daughter is a motion detector. So she could be fast asleep. And if you just put your pinky in the room, in a dark room where she was, and held it up in the air, she would be up and go, "We play now!" You know, and it was time to go. Rock and roll. Not going back to sleep for 6 hours.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it was just incredible. But your kids pass out?
No. One of them, Mikey can sleep through anything. Charlie, and now they were climbing out of their cribs like stealth ninjas. So I wouldn't know they were up until I looked when I just opened my eyes and one's face is right next to me.
What if you found out later they were jewel thieves?
They could be.
And there was a rash of
they could be.
And then you'd wake up in the morning and there was just incredible rubies necklaces in their cribs.
Yes.
And you kind of kept it quiet.
Yeah. I mean, it's also, I don't know if stealing is genetic, but if it is, they got the gene for
me. You are wearing a ton of jewelry.
You are wearing a lot of jewelry today.
What is going
My
on?
My children steal them for me.
I've trained them.
I just see them with little suction cups.
Yeah.
They've got the thing that Tom Cruise has where you're lowered on wire.
Yeah.
And you go right down to the bottom.
They climb over baby gates now.
Oh, yeah.
The
God.
Baby gates can't even hold them anymore. Like, nothing baby-proofing.
Do they brag when you come into the house with something? They're like, that will not hold us. We cannot be held by any man-made barrier.
Why do they have that accent?
I don't know. They've been listening to they have Babbel. Free plug for Babbel, by the way. You're not paying us any money. I just love that they listen to a lot of Babbel at night. And then you come in, hello, mother. Where's Potter? And the night we purloin some precious jewelry from the local museum. We do hope you enjoy. Well, I'm sorry you didn't get... Look at him. He's resting his chin.
No.
You're resting your chin on the microphone
that
to
can't
sleep.
Be good for the sound.
Are you any good at taking a nap?
No.
No.
No, I'm a horrible sleeper as it is. So if it's,
you always were? You know what that is?
What?
Your conscience.
Oh.
It may be.
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
I think you've committed horrible crimes.
Oh. Can you sleep?
Yeah. Like a baby.
No, that can't be.
Oh, I do.
If conscience keeps
sociopath.
You up.
No, sociopath.
Okay.
Yeah,
that makes sense. That checks out.
Oh, yeah. There's a famous story from in our family lore when we were kids and a bat got loose in the house.
What?
A bat came into the house because, you know, we live in suburban Boston in a cave. My father fought crime to avenge the death of his parents.
Just knowing your dad.
Yeah, my dad pretended to be in academic medicine. And he'd go like, yes, I think I'm going to go to the lab and work on this this new strain of... This new strain of this bacteria is rather concerning. It's shown up in Austria. I'm going to go to the lab and just check it out. And then he'd...
I love also that Batman has six kids.
Yeah, Batman has six kids. Anyway.
Does his persona change when he goes...
Oh, yeah, he goes down the bat pole. And then he's Batman. I'm Batman. And he's suddenly, like, kicking ass. But then he comes back home again.
Yes, I think I'll have a little soup, a little V8 juice.
Does he have a lab coat on over his bat suit?
Yeah, he sometimes forgets. Sometimes he's fighting crime in the lab coat because he forgot. And people are like, what the fuck? He's like, oh, God damn it! Quick temper. Irish temper. God damn it! Jesus Christ! But yeah, my father fought crime. Anyway, a bat got into the house in the summer, and everyone in the house woke up and was chasing it. And I used to share a room with at the time, I think I was just sharing it with my brother Luke. I used to share it with Luke and Neil, but I was just sharing it with Luke then. And everyone in the family was chasing the bat, and they all chased it into the room where I was asleep. Luke was awake chasing it. My father used to always try and capture them because he wanted to get them to the lab to study if they had rabies or not.
Oh.
So, and to avenge the murder of his parents in Gotham City. And anyway, but everyone's jumping from bed to bed, and I'm on the bed fast asleep. People were jumping on the bed, screaming, bat, bat. I'm out the whole time.
Oh, man.
And then in the morning, I wake up like, ugh! And everybody said, I can't, wasn't that crazy last night? And I said, what? What was crazy?
I'm so jealous. I haven't slept through the night since I was probably 18.
But what do you do when you wake up?
I don't do anything. I don't look on my phone. I try to keep it real.
You try to keep it real.
Well, yeah, he's from the streets. He's trying to keep it real.
Yeah. Matty Gorls
from keeping
the
it real.
Street.
Oh my God.
Keeping it real.
I love that checking your phone means you're not keeping it real.
I know.
That means no one on earth is keeping it real.
I'm so tired.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I feel for him.
I know.
Wait, now it's gone. It was just momentary. It was a weird...
Wrap it up so I can go.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to let you go home so you cannot sleep there.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried... Is there anything that might help you go to sleep?
I've tried everything I can think of, everything there is.
You should try listening to this podcast.
Oh, I should mention, I do fall asleep when I'm editing. Every time.
And it's the best sleep you've ever had.
Oh, man.
All right, you knuckleheads. I never get to say that much. Okay, you knuckleheads, pipe. And sometimes I do it when you're not even saying much.
No, we're not.
Quiet, you knuckleheads. Pipe down. My guest today co-created and starred in the hit Netflix series Russian Doll. You can also see her in the Peacock series Poker Face. I love that show. And recently she directed the critically acclaimed comedy special Jacqueline Novak, Get on Your Knees, which is available to stream on Netflix. Very excited she's here today. Natasha Lyonne, welcome. Natasha, I was really excited about you being here because you've been on the show a bunch of times, and every time I talk to you, I'm deliriously happy because you are a singularity. You are unlike anybody else that I speak to. You are such an original speaker of speaking and speeches and speechifying.
But you are not.
No.
I was Obama's speechwriter.
That's why most of his speeches about the Affordable Care Act started out like, now listen to me.
Yeah. Now listen up, country. Emphasis on the cunt, I said it.
I thought you wrote his best speeches.
Thank you. You know, a lot of people, I don't get a lot of credit for that. And so I really appreciate you bringing it up. A lot of people just think of me as like, I don't know, whatever. Captain Bruno Kirby or some shit. And I'm like, honey. I wrote Obama's most iconic speech.
You did. You are such a great speechwriter for Obama, but also you fell through a black hole. You come from another time. You are, what would you call yourself, a ragamuffin?
I do appreciate that instead of saying singular, you actually called me the singularity.
Yes, so you are
I'm
the singularity.
Actually our first test subject, and... you know, what's wild is people thought that Ray Kurzweil was a kook. You know what I mean?
Sure.
They thought he was some sort of a wackadoodle. I think it's because he did talk about the singularity. But then the back half of the documentary really ends with discovering that the reason he wants this sort of life extension singularity is so he can resurrect his dead father and bring him back from the dead, which kind of undid, I think, his theories, because it seemed like, you know, he was just some sort of a character out of Young Frankenstein. But yes, that's actually how I think of myself is the final merging of technology and humanity.
That was some run.
Yeah, it was good.
That
yeah.
was an incredible yeah. speech you just gave, better than anything you wrote for Obama.
Yeah, thanks.
That was...
Well, because I like to take people on a loop-de-loo, where is this going? And yeah. then I slide into no plate. You know what I mean? Into just no plate.
Thanks. That wasn't just a roller coaster. That was a Coney Island roller coaster made of wood. It has a little bit of give to it. Have you been on that roller coaster?
Oh, fuck yeah. I've swam in that water. I don't give a shit what's in it. You know what I mean?
I was on that roller coaster once, and it gives.
Oh,
you feel it give on the corners.
Ugh.
It's made of like old pine. And that's, a roller coaster is not something I want to be vintage.
No.
Yeah.
I also don't want my eye operation to be vintage.
Did you get LASIK?
No, I didn't. But I'm just saying, if I were to have my eye operated on, I wouldn't want to go all retro and cool. You know, like, give me the instruments from 1885, just because I want to be all steampunk.
Yeah,
that's
I
not
don't
me.
Want that. I don't want that.
Well, I won't do it then.
And look, honestly, it's fine. You can just do it. I'm being too uptight, and I can tell. And you look bummed out. And I want you.
No, that's
happy.
Just my face.
It is.
Yeah, I'm kind of just. That's my neutral face is slightly depressed.
And
maybe I am thinking a lot about how briefly I am on this planet, and how soon I'll be moldering in my tomb.
Oh.
Those things come to mind a lot.
Yeah, not if Ray Kurzweil has his way with you. This motherfucker's going to bring you right
back.
Wait,
what is the name of this documentary?
Transcendental Man, maybe, but I'm just pulling from the ether.
Okay, Eduardo's on it right now. Yeah. Or he's buying something on Amazon.
Yeah, it's one or the other.
He's buying another Messi jersey.
Transcendent Man.
Well, close enough. But listen, so you're basically just... you know, a baby genius, and that's not your problem, right?
No.
So are you depressed? Are you existential? Are you just, like, thinking thoughts?
I'm just thinking thoughts.
Sounds to me like you might be thinking thoughts.
I'm just thinking thoughts.
Yeah.
And thoughts drive emotions. Ask any...
Wow.
Yeah, they do.
And feelings aren't facts.
Exactly.
And now we've done our service
now
here
we're
today.
Okay.
Now
goodbye, everybody.
Guys, you're welcome.
This is the shortest podcast we've ever done.
Yeah.
I ran into you recently at an event for someone we both know who passed away.
Yes, sir.
We were chatting and I was telling you, every time I see you in something, I'm happy because I am a big fan of yours and your work and your persona and Poker Face. I just absolutely love. I love that show. It was bringing back a type of show that I grew up watching as a kid, this kind of serialized person on the move, you know, who's getting involved in things against her will and solving them. And you're, I don't know, I love that show, absolutely love that show. And I was really happy that you made it. I know that you've been deeply involved in it. You're not just acting in it, but you're wearing a lot of hats on that show.
What's the humble thing to say? Well, much like Charlie Chaplin,
like Einstein, you tried something and it worked out.
You know what I mean? Like, so Ryan Johnson and I are like these, you know, we see that one photograph of Einstein and Charlie Chaplin just looking loose by the beach on the rock. No one's ever seen that photo.
I have.
You can Google that too.
Yeah, I've seen that photo.
You know that photo.
Yeah.
That's a great photo. So, you know, like we're in there.
Yeah, yeah. If they took a photo of you and me hanging out at the beach, it would be like Chaplin and Einstein.
It would. It would, but different. You know what I mean?
Cause not different at all.
Baby,
exactly.
We're redheads. So, we got it like that. We're either your thing or definitely not.
Oh, there it is. So they are hanging out on a... Exactly. We're Googling everything you say.
Yeah, so, and so far, so good, right? The nut job still got it. So
also,
yeah, I think Ryan, thanks. I think Ryan is Einstein. Yeah, yeah, because he can do a Saturday crossword. Although I did have to help him on Friday. I had to help him with the Friday puzzle while we sat and watched the AFI Awards. And he was very proud because his name was in the puzzle. Director of Knives Out, last name Johnson, blank Johnson.
I did that one.
Yeah. So he got that clue and many others. But...
he got himself.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm proud of you, but like, yeah, Einstein, usually you get to Saturday in like 8 minutes. What's going on? Craig Mazin was right across from us, so I made sure to shame Ryan to Craig because that's very slow time for him. And then, so that's why I think he's Einstein, because he can generally, under normal conditions, do a Saturday in like 8 minutes.
I can't.
And I can't.
Well,
I can only do up to a Thursday and then again a Sunday. Friday and Saturday, I don't even try.
You are a...
So that's why I know I'm a Charlie Chaplin.
I am a regular, I do every single Times crossword puzzle.
Yes.
Monday, I find insulting. Like, I'm just like, what is this? You know, not a dog, but a C-A-T, you know, cat. Yeah. And so I just think I'm the smartest man in the world.
Yeah.
Tuesday, sometimes there's a struggle for a moment or two, and I become panicked that I'm an idiot. And then, but then you get into it, and I have to say, once you get into Friday, Saturday, I don't know how anyone could do Saturday in 8 minutes. I don't think that's possible.
I think Mazin can, and I bet you Lord and Miller can. I'm just thinking about people, you know, that I've puzzled with, and I'm not name dropping. I'm puzzle dropping right now. So.
It's the nerdiest thing you can do is puzzle drop.
Yeah, I'm fucking puzzle dropping like a motherfucker.
So I'm out on a yacht with Will Shorts.
Yeah, and
the New York Times crossword puzzle editor.
It's funny you bring up Will because he was so nice to me when I co-constructed a puzzle for the Times with Deb Amlin, and it's not a big deal, Conan. It's just like, I built the fucking puzzle, and Will Shorts wrote him, you know. Wrote me a nice note about it. And
hey, let me ask you how that works.
Kind of a big fan of mine, so you know what I mean.
Like, that's fine.
I appreciate that you went to Harvard and I dropped out of NYU like six times out of Tisch.
Wait, why'd you drop out six times? Once you drop out, aren't you out?
Nah, it's just I kept trying to negotiate like a scholarship with the dean of admissions, and because I was like, I'm 15. You know what I mean? Like, what the fuck you want from me? I don't have, that's my money. You don't get my money. And
wait,
so
you're going to college at 15 and you're negotiating your own scholarship or trying to. And I think.
Yeah, Bugsy Malone.
Yeah. Did you have a little cigarette or a little cigar?
Yeah, of course. I always have a little cigarette. Thanks so much for bringing it up because now I feel like it's an open table for my real life's desires. I still do carry a lighter on a lighter leash, but. I quit smoking. Mm-hmm. But I was trying to smoke in the dean's office. So, But you're Harvard and you ran the Lampoon shit, right?
Yeah, sure, but who cares? No one cares.
Well, I mean, it's a long time ago now, so...
Well, not that long ago. I'm only 42.
Yeah, and you've delivered on it, and I recently am 27, which is scary because of the 27 Club.
You could go at any time.
Anytime.
I feel like you were running your life almost from a very early age, right? And this kind of made you. Would you say that that's...
What made me?
The fact that you had to be so self-reliant so early, don't you think that that had something to do with...
Yeah, I often worry about my, you know, I have such good friends that they're all such terrific parents. And I worry about the kids, you know what I mean? Because I, you know, having alcoholic, fucked up, suicidal, mental patient parents
right.
is really, really helpful for character development. yeah, your eyes are wide open to the full scope of the human condition at an early age. So you have a high emotional IQ. I used to think it meant I should like join the CIA or something, but later in therapy discovered it was actually just in hypervigilance of constantly being, you know, terrified and assessing situations. So it's not really that I was reading the room so well and could retain clues or random pieces of information. It's just clocking things because
right.
you kind of have to survive.
Yeah.
And yes, by like, I think like by six probably, yes, at our friend, and we saw each other at Pee Wee's Memorial, at mm-hmm. Paul Rubens Memorial.
Yeah.
I think I did Pee Wee's Playhouse
six to eight. When you were a child actor and
six
you did Pee Wee's Playhouse,
yeah. Yeah, I guess. And I love Paul.
Mm-hmm.
But he was like, I remember he was one of the first guys, you know, he took me to a steak dinner. I talked about this at the memorial. When I got out of a rehab, he was one of the first people that was like, oh, hey, let me take you out to dinner. It meant so much to me.
Yeah.
We had steaks in the valley someplace. I was like, wow, I'm really back. And I guess he had been through so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Susan Terrell from Fat City. They used to say that about her, that she would also sort of like collect underdogs, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And hold them tight. There's some people in this town that are really like that. And it's a very special thing. Because most people are just like, well, hot or not, want to be associated proxy or I don't. Paul said to me, I was never surprised when I saw all those like, pictures of you in the gutter or whatever. You got to remember, I met your mother.
Wow.
And it was pretty wild because...
Was she a stage mom then, very much?
Less of a stage mom, more of like a stage nut job. And I think, I honestly don't have a mind that can recall with sufficient force what it was like exactly. But they're not bad people, my parents, you know? It's like mm-hmm. they're just very untreated. Like, in other words, so many things in our modern times, whatever this year is, I'll say 2024. Discussions happen about sort of mental health and kind of whatever, you know, epigenetic footprint, what have you. Like, people understand that that's a working part of a dynamic of being a person, a high-functioning person or recovery or whatever it takes. So I sort of, well, only because they're dead, now I kind of love them, you know what I mean? I think
well, you have distance, too. I mean, that's the ultimate distance, actually.
Oh, yeah. It was such a relief when they died. It's funny that people don't really tether the two, but it's like as soon as they died, I was like, okay, now I'll do show business. So it's really only in like the last decade. Up to then, I was mostly trying to avoid it because I didn't want these kind of like Lindsay Lohan figured parents in my life on page six, you know? So I was like, I'll just stay here in the shadows until they die and kind of work a little bit here and there.
Do you really think you did that? Because you've worked a lot. You're starting with Orange is the New Black. And
yeah.
You're doing Russian Doll.
And then
yeah.
now Poker Face.
Poker Face. And it's just like there.
Yeah.
You've had this unprecedented run of creativity.
Mm-hmm.
Do you really think that that was made possible because your parents
yes,
died?
Yes, I think it's empirical. You know, it's like PTSD. My only diagnosis in a shocking twist, because you'd think I was insane in so many other confirmed ways, which I believe I am. I just can't get a diagnosis. So I think they're wrong, but, you know, yeah. And you don't really take medication. I guess you do. Whatever. Anyway, yeah, like for me, I experience them as boogeymen, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like in my waking life and in my night terror life, like, because they were fucking insane, you know? And so I had to get like a restraining order from my dad or whatever. I remember being really brokenhearted.
How old were you when you got a restraining order from your dad?
Well, I was older already, because like when I was younger, it was harder. I had tried. Like, he would show up at things like, I remember Bijou Phillips in the 90s told me, like, yeah, your dad came to set today, and it was like a, remember that weird James Brooks movie? No, what's his name? Jim Toback? With Mike Tyson in it. Is it something black and white? Do you remember this fucking movie?
I vaguely remember this.
Yeah, from the 90s. I've never seen it. Could you Google that? Thanks so much.
He's also making you an airline reservation.
Oh, thank you so much. It's really, really important. Maybe it was called Black and White or something.
You said James Toback.
You struggle with that a while, and I'll stay here.
You're just giving him tasks to keep him busy.
Yeah, I just like to stay. I just like him to stay busy.
Where is uranium on the elemental chart?
Yeah, and anyway, she told me, your dad showed up to set today looking for you. He just assumed, since it was shooting in New York City and Mike Tyson is in the movie, that you were in it too.
It's called Black and White.
Oh, it is. Thanks. But there was nothing I could do about that kind of thing then. Years later, I guess I was probably 30 or something, which is weird because I'm 27 now.
There was a singularity, and then there was a hole in space.
And so...
Don't ask, don't tell. If you see something, say something.
Definitely.
Yeah, and give a hoot, don't pollute. Well, anyway, but it's important. These are the truths. Yeah. A lot of truths are coming out here.
And like, don't Google it, okay? All right, whatever you do. I like the idea of this year just starting to vigorously lie about my age, and it's... Uh-huh. Definitely on Google.
You know, it's incredible to have the flexibility to work in all sorts of places, whether it's taking video calls from the park or emailing large files while you're grocery shopping. Sona, this is good for you.
Is it?
Because you're always doing whatever work you do for me from fun locations.
But I like blaming it on not having reception.
I know, but you can't do that here. Working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network, which is why you should check out T-Mobile, Sona.
Okay.
Then you got no excuses. They're America's largest and fastest 5G network. With T-Mobile, you'll be covered in more places with the 5G speed you need for your life on the go. Plus, they also cover more highway miles with 5G than anybody else. Check it out if you don't believe me. Hey, Blay, you've got T-Mobile, right?
I do. I was actually just up in the woods in Idlewild. It was fantastic for the weekend, and my T-Mobile didn't miss it. My T-Mobile phone didn't miss it.
You know, I wouldn't think you'd need a cell phone because you speak so loudly into a microphone.
Well, I had to look some stuff up.
Just take it down.
I didn't know when brunch was.
I can hear him.
When the restaurant's open for brunch.
Okay.
So I used my T-Mobile coverage to check
terrific,
out brunch.
Blay. That's all right. Anyway, wherever you are, you know, take it from the loud-speaking Blay. If you're on the go, you want to be in the know, you want to make the show.
What?
T-Mobile. Okay. That's the one for you.
That was
I should
weird.
Have rhymed it with go. Anyway, find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today. Coverage not available in some areas. Fastest based on median overall combined 5G speeds, according to analysis by Ookla of Speed Test Intelligence Data Q3 2023. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com. Come on, if most people are being honest, no one really knows what you do for work, right?
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, especially if you're in a what I like to call B2B.
Oh,
you know?
What is that?
I'll explain.
Okay.
That's a business doing business with other businesses. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I call it B2B. It's a little thing. It's also, it's a boy band I'm working on. Anyway, fortunately, LinkedIn has a network of professionals who get what you do, and you can reach the right people who matter most to your company because they're LinkedIn.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
LinkedIn has over, this is the fun part to say, 1 billion members.
Are you serious?
Yeah. That's not. That's more people than are on Earth, because there are people on the moon using it and Saturn. That's over 1 billion members on its platform, including 70 million decision makers. God, I'd like to meet a decision maker. Since LinkedIn members are regularly updating their work history, you can precisely build a target audience by job title, industry, company, and more. Man, you can reach the right people for your, I'm going to say it again, B2B business with LinkedIn ads.
Yeah.
Gets even better because LinkedIn will give you a $100 credit on your next campaign.
Hmm.
There you go. Just go to LinkedIn.com/Team Coco to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/Team Coco. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all sometimes have issues or things we need to talk about, get off our chest. I have that all the time, don't you, Sona?
I do.
Yeah, and we need people to talk to. And we carry around different stressors. We carry big stressors. We carry small stressors. I was raised in a culture where you're supposed to kind of bottle it up, and I've learned over time that that's not the best thing to do. If you do let things rattle around in there for a while without talking it out, it can affect your life very negatively. Well, therapy is a safe space where you can get things off your chest, figure out how to work through whatever is weighing you down. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. BetterHelp's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. A lot of people have a barrier towards getting therapy because they think, well, I don't know, I've got to find the person, talk to them. What if it's not a good match? Then it's awkward. None of that. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and then you switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Conan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Conan.
But so anyway, then later I was doing this play. It was like a Mike Lee play. And I remember I was so excited. And then I remember seeing my dad from across the room, like somehow he had found, and he had done that also with Slums of Beverly Hills. Like I remember.
Because you were a kid when you did that.
Yeah, I guess I was like 17, 18.
Yeah.
But I remember he like showed up to the premiere, but I hadn't seen him in like a decade or something. And
he just showed up.
Yeah. And he was like, hey, Bambo. And, you know, my dad was a boxing promoter from Brooklyn, which is why I never understand why people want to move there. The goal is to get out of Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they think it's hip.
It changed a lot.
Well, did it. You know what I mean? I'd argue it's still not in Manhattan. As a baseline, you know. Geographically speaking, has it changed? Oh, I see. They got some coffee shops. Congratulations. Oh, but you still, the one joy in New York is you can fucking come and go as you please. Mm-hmm. There's no claustrophobia or commitment. Brooklyn is a fucking commitment. Like you need an Uber, a subway, a metro card, a taxi, or a very long walk. So anyway. Then I remember him being, seeing him across from the Mike Leith, and it just broke my heart. Slums of Beverly Hills. I remember Rosie Perez and Marissa Tomei kind of like consoling me in the bathroom. It was like three of the thickest accents you'd ever heard. And they're just like, yo, Natasha, like, you don't fucking need this shit. Don't let him fucking bring you down. Like, you don't gotta go through this. Like, you know, like, just fucking do whatever you gotta do. But this is your night. It's fucking your night, you know? And don't let that motherfucker haunt you. And so he was fucked up like that. And my mother was just nuts. But they weren't really, like, bad people. And anyway, now that they're dead, I feel safe to kind of really be out there. And I don't care anymore.
You know, it's funny because you had all this success early on, and then you decided, I was reading some interview with you where you said, like, I don't want to be on Dawson's Creek. I don't want to be on the WB. That's not what I want.
Yeah.
Which I think, you know, 99% of people in that situation would have said, how do I get on that kind of reality? And that's not what you wanted.
No. And Yeah, I did not want those things. Like, and I remember my mother being like, why would you turn down Buffy? It's such a big show. And like, when are you going to get a boob job so you can work? And I was like, yeah, I'm just not putting that shit in my tits, Ma. Like, she was like, it would even you out because you got that ass. I was like, well, thanks. And,
oh, my God. Yeah.
And,
oh, my God.
But, like, I think that...
This is the talk I never had with my parents.
Yeah. This is the birds and the bees talk. No, that's what they told me. No, I was like, yeah, I guess they put me in the business because they wanted to be famous. It was like a proxy proposition, although no one ever really laid it on the table for me. And around then, I can remember sort of like almost like going to auditions by myself in Times Square, like, mm-hmm. you know, but taxi driver Times Square, not fucking this Disney shit with the fucking bike lanes and whatever the fuck. I mean, why would you put islands in the middle of the street? It's like, oh, we wanted to make a cramped space more cramped. Like, all right, you fucking rocket scientist. Jesus Christ. Like, definitely New York is run by the mob in a beautiful way, okay? Whenever you see construction in New York, there's mafia. You know, yes. It's not real construction. You know that, right?
Yes. Oh, well, you think I was born yesterday?
I definitely don't. I am 42 years ago today. I didn't like that path, that sort of, you know, Buffy, boob job, fucking famous guy. I think it's sick when people are into it.
I don't even know this about you, but I just get the sense that you read a lot. You're crazy intelligent and you read a lot because I feel like you make a... Do you read widely? Do you read all just different kinds of stuff? Do you like history? What is it?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think I'm that smart with, like, shapes. But sometimes I know, because, like, I feel like I don't have a high IQ. But then I do see other people try to, like, pack up the car. And then I'm like, oh, maybe I do have a high IQ because I see them trying to fit sort of, like, a chair into the trunk, like, clearly the wrong way. And I'm like... Wow, I thought I had a low IQ, but I'm watching this guy fucking put this chair. He just can't figure out that's not going to close. But if you just tilt it, all right. And I let him go a while. And then, you know, I help out sort of gently because that's what girls have to do. And so you got watching a slow motion train. And I said, oh, okay, you thought it there. All right. And sure, let me give it a whirl.
I think it's when you were in rehab, you said you walked around with a giant biography of Rasputin.
Oh, yeah.
And I was thinking, oh, this is my kind of person because
thanks.
I like to read about the darkest, weirdest people. Rasputin has always fascinated me. And I just thought that's how my mind works.
I don't want to burst your bubble, but Rasputin's biography was something that I was carrying around while I was on drugs. In rehab, it was more like I got very into I was reading Thomas Pynchon Against the Day. I was so excited when it came out because it was like 1,000 pages and, you know, there's nothing to do with rehab except, you know, sit on a sofa and they feed you a lot. And yes, I really associate Rasputin with like a back pocket kind of, you know, New York 90s, like the scumbag era. But I remember finding it in my storage space and I still have the same copy of it. And, I love it. It's very ragged. I really put that Rasputin through hell. And it's like, that kind of was his
ship. He's hard to kill, too.
Yeah.
And that motherfucker.
Famously, famously hard to kill, that guy.
That guy. And I was like, the shit I fucking took him through, though? My God, you know? But yeah, I was reading a lot and often and widely and also movies, you know, because the film school was so expensive.
Right.
They wanted like 60 grand a semester or some shit. And I was like, honey, you're nuts. And so what I did, I bought this studio apartment that was Gramercy adjacent. I spent I had $100,000 from all of these jobs. It was, Krippendorf's Tribe is what gave me that money, which is a blackface movie, if you haven't seen it. It's a Disney... blackface picture and starring Richard Dreyfuss.
Krippendorf's Tribe?
Oh,
I remember
yes.
that.
Yeah. Yes. So the premise is that Richard Dreyfuss is a, an anthropologist whose wife dies, and now he's a sad widower with these two, three kids. And so he decides to create a fake tribe in his backyard. Oh, yes, it's worse than you think. And so then, essentially, it's all of us, Richard Dreyfuss, myself, and I guess the other two sons, I'm the eldest, all in full blackface.
How have I never heard of this?
Yeah.
It's
pretty nuts.
You chose a good time to get out, I think.
Let's go to a clip.
Yeah.
1998.
Oh, and so wow. I took that money and I was like, ah, shit, I'll just buy an apartment. Because the other money, all my childhood acting money had been spent already.
Not by you.
No. And I thought I was going to get a Lambo. That's why I was doing it. I was promised that I was going to get a Lambo, but it never materialized. But I did get a bad credit score early because my Social Security number was being used frequently. Going to the Film Forum for the quadruple feature was so much cheaper than Tisch, but it was in rehab that I really started connecting directly to science, because in high school it was not my thing. I remember reading this Bill Bryson book.
Walk in the Woods, which one?
No, it's I don't know, A Short History of Nearly Everything.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, I think I can use that concept as like this higher power concept, because it was so impossible to sort of reconcile what is this idea of like an anthropomorphic god or whatever. And I really understood the scope of how little I understood about the world. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I loathe inanimate objects and logistics. They seem to be two real troublemakers, you know?
You loathe inanimate objects.
Yeah.
Now, wait a minute. I know what you mean. If you mean what I think you mean, I find that the minute I care about something that I can hold in my hand, I will misplace it fairly soon.
Yeah.
And I will spend about 6 hours worrying about where it is. Even if it costs like $42,
yeah.
I will devote time to being very upset that that thing I liked having, I can't find now. Yeah. And then I will find it like 6 days later in an obvious spot and be way overjoyed about that and realize that I just ate up more of this precious time on Earth worrying about the $60 Bakelite pen that I bought here in Larchmont.
Fair.
That has a cool sort of orange tone to the cap that I liked doodling with. And then it was gone for 6 days and I was bereft. But now I found it again. Oh, why would I put it inside a sock? Why did I do that? What made me think of that? But here it is. Yay, I've got that pen back. And it's crazy. Yeah. And then, closer to the grave.
Yeah.
Good job, Conan. Yeah. Good little soap opera.
Yeah.
But I understand what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's exactly what I'm saying. Like, what the fuck are these things? It's like, oh, is this bottle cap? Oh, okay, now you're a magical mystery tour. Cool. Glad this is fucking happening. I mean, it's nuts.
Okay, I had this moment of awakening.
Yeah.
When I, years ago in New York, when I worked in 30 Rock, across the street was Christie's auction house. And one day they said, oh, all of the Roosevelt family memorabilia is being put up for auction. And I thought, well, I got to go check that out. So I went over and it's Franklin Roosevelt and Eleanor. And then they had a bunch of kids. And so basically I went and looked and it was room after room after room of all the stuff they had given each other for Christmases going back to like 1922. Up until, past when Franklin's gone and well into the 1950s. And it was just case after case after case of stuff that looked like, that's a tie clip. That's a little watch fob. Oh, look, there's a little case you can put some pills in. Oh, look, there's a little, there's a bookmarker that's made of pewter. And it was thousands and thousands of them. It was like the end of Citizen Kane, where I'm looking at all of it. And all I'm imagining is them unwrapping it on Christmas Day, 1931. Well, isn't that grand? Thank you. Thank you. Look at that. That's going to hold my tie quite nicely. Thank you. Yay. Christmas, 1935.
Well, isn't that grand? That's going to keep my place in the book. And now everyone's dead. And it's a room full of shit.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone's buying it, and then they're going to give it to somebody. Yeah. It's going to be like, hey, thanks. Yeah. That's fucking fantastic. Yeah. That'll hold my tie in place. Yeah. And then they're going to die.
Yes.
And it's just, then we're just, I don't know. That's what, I don't know why that one Christie's auction just opened my eyes
yes.
to what a sham the whole thing yes. is.
Yo, I love Goth Conan.
Well, you're all going to die, everybody. You're all going to die.
Yeah, Goth Conan's a shit, okay? Because, you know, the facts are that that's all correct. They don't understand about the fucking tie clips. That's all I'm saying.
Speaking of surreal, there's one thing I have to ask you about, which is I believe you might be the last person on Earth to work with Marlon Brando. And I just have to ask you about it.
Oh, it was wild. I'll go ahead and say it. It was buck wild.
Yeah. No, I'm glad you had the courage to go ahead
Thanks.
With your thought.
Yeah.
But was on like Scary Movie 2. And I remember at the time they hired him. They gave him a crazy amount of money to do a cameo and in this movie. And then I think they ended up not using him because he was too ill. Is that right?
Yes, sir. So it was Keenan Ivory Wayans, who's the director, who I love. Yeah, so when it came in, I was definitely like, yo, hard pass, because I don't fuck with things called Scary Movie 2.
right.
And like, that's not what I'm in this for. Mm-hmm. You know, and I love Billy Friedkin. I love The Exorcist.
Which they parody in that one, yeah.
And I actually met him and spent time with him towards the end of his life because he wanted me to be Mae West in a biopic that
of
I
course,
think.
Yeah.
But I think originally it was Bette Midler. Mm-hmm. That's how you name drop. So just like you have to take a pause and hit him with the last name.
Mm-hmm.
And
I just call her B, but whatever.
You do?
Yeah.
You don't call her the divine Miss M?
No, just B.
Yeah, well.
Oh, wait, no, that's Barack Obama.
Oh, shit.
Shit.
How many Bs do you have in your phone? Do you play the spelling bee
it's
and
also
connections?
Bryce Dallas Howard. What's
yeah.
that?
Oh, and you call her a lot just in that redhead club. But I'm not on the thread. I'm not in
you
the
You were on
chat.
The thread, but you won't answer.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, it was... like, yeah, you don't want to fuck with fucking Linda Blair and fucking Billy Friedkin. That's nuts. And then they were like, and Marlon Brando is doing it. And your dear heart, Andy Richter.
Yeah. Andy was in it as well, yeah.
But really, Marlon was my way in. At the time, I was like, I mean, you know, that's working with Brando, so.
Gotta do it.
You gotta be like, you know, your mother sucks cocks in hell. You gotta, like, you just, are you gonna do it better than she did? You're not. You're gonna ruin it, but it's Brando. And then he shows up and he, he was very, very old.
And ill, I think. Yeah.
Yes, and an oxygen tank and earpieces. And I told this story on your show live, I guess it's to tape, but, you know. I'm not involved in the editing.
Yeah. Not, that really didn't need to be qualified. But anyway, go ahead.
And if you're not familiar with Conan's work, so he, there was this talk show and...
I love how you get to the part where, so Brando shows up. Now, of course, Conan used to tape his show. Now, he'd tape it at 5:30, but it wouldn't air till 12:30. So there was a lag in which time they could make short edit. You're getting to the best part of the story.
And
you
now you're making it longer.
I know.
Get to Brando.
Sorry. We're all going to die.
You want the full story? So as he was like, you know, because of the breathing and... yeah, the bed was sort of one of the gags was it was like a low rider that would move all crazy, like, you know, Pimp My Ride style, which I think he'd never seen. I don't even know if it was out yet. You know, space-time moves in all kinds of directions.
Yes, it does.
So anyway, he would keep his hand right on my tit. I think as I was in the prosthetics, did not understand that, like, I was a real person at all.
You're giving him a lot of credit.
And... And, you know, despite what my mother said, it's a fucking nice rack. You know what I mean? So, you know what he was doing. And
and
I was like, wow, this is like a fucking pretty serious day at the office. You know what I mean? Because
so you're standing there and you're in all these prosthetics Marlon Brando, who doesn't have long to live, has his hand on your breast.
Like, for hours, you know what I mean, at a time. And I'm like, I'm like, that's fucking Brando. I mean, is it fucking, you know, big boy Brando? Yeah, you know. Can he breathe? Not really, but, you know, is he all there? I mean, nope. Is it the sort of acting face-off I dreamed of? Well, it's no On the Waterfront. But,
if you look at On the Waterfront, he's got his hand.
On Carl Malden's
on
breast.
On Carl Malden's breast. It's in you. They tried to cut around it.
No, they do. I was like, well, yeah, I guess I am a fucking contender after all. And so on. So I was thrilled and delighted. I thought it was fucking pretty special. Then when he dropped out of the film the next day, due to his health, and like, I think he died like 3 weeks later.
Yeah, he died very shortly afterwards. Yeah.
So I maybe am the. I don't want to make it about me, but you know, I'm maybe the last person that he felt up. I don't want to assume that he was kind of. It's like it's not a big deal. It's just sort of like, yeah, pretty much. Brando and I banged it out hardcore. You know what I mean? Like, and 3 weeks later he died, and yeah, that was the last time that he could fucking manage it. And then the next day they brought in James Woods.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is how every story ends. And then they brought in James Woods.
So,
Godfather 4.
Yeah.
And he was less of a charmer. In the makeup.
Less of
did.
A charmer than the man on oxygen. Whose hand is on your breast for 6 days.
Because he was like, you know, I can tell even with the makeup, you're a spinner, right?
Oh, my God. No.
Yeah. And that was, I thought, I mean, less sexy than Brando, who's just fucking oxygen, you know what I mean? Pumping and oxygen. It was crazy. No, that didn't happen. But the James Woods one was like, oh, that's weird. But I fucking think James Woods is a great actor, despite the fact that he's a Republican, psychopath, was hitting on me as a teenager in full monster makeup. I mean,
good Lord. It's like
pretty specifically, it's a crazy move, dude.
He has a type.
Yeah, I guess he does. But my God, Sergio Leone's Once Upon a Time in America, you know, multiple truths hold.
You see all facets of the human condition is what you're saying.
I'm just saying.
You see the high and the low.
I mean, he's a fucking, that guy's a great, great actor. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the fuck Brando was up to, but it was nothing too kosher himself. I mean, Maria Shire,
just looking,
right?
He was just
Last Tango, I mean, him and Bertolucci are fucking, the shenanigans they're getting into.
You don't call that shenanigans.
Oh, you call it rape. I see. Yeah, I mean, that poor chick fucking never recovered from that picture, did she? But it's a real buttery scene, so... And multiple truths, you know.
There are multiple truths.
Yeah,
there are many multiple truths.
And in a way, it's like, are they time crimes or what? Because I think that raping and abusing women throughout history has been, for reasons that are very obscure and mercurial, conceptually and morally, were just sort of a fact of life. And I don't know. I'm just riffing. Like Miles Davis might.
I think what comes to mind is me thinking about you going through all this without functioning parents, being really young and figuring it out. And you've come out of it on the other side. And you're a remarkably, I think, intelligent person who's also there's a complete lack of judgment. You're not judging people. You've been through a lot. I feel like you've been through 50 lifetimes of madness. Yeah. But you are very even-keeled, and you keep bringing up this concept that many things are true. That someone can be a monster, but they can also be a brilliant artist. And then you see all this 3-4-dimensionality to it, which I think is pretty amazing. Because I think we live in a time where people just want to hear, was someone good or was someone bad?
Yeah, it's a bummer.
And it doesn't work that way.
Nope.
Yeah.
Yep.
But that said... I'd like to end on, I think I'm good. Very good. Oh, and I mean perfect.
No, that's not the takeaway from this.
I mean perfect.
No, no.
In every way. Uh-uh. And there's no like layers.
Hard disagree.
I want to make sure I bring this up because you worked with a comic who fascinates me, Jacqueline Novak. You directed and executive produced her special, Get on Your Knees. And she's just not like any other stand-up I've encountered. Yeah. She is incredibly literate and almost poetic.
John Mulaney said, ladies and gentlemen, I've seen the Muhammad Ali of comedy about Jacqueline Novak. She is fucking brilliant. And when she got into this kind of like, I prefer calling doggy style the hound's way. Yeah. I was like,
she's talking a lot about. Well, she's talking about, talking about oral sex.
Sucking them cocks, yeah.
Sucking them cocks. Yeah. I'm sorry, you took the words out of my mouth.
No problem.
You took the cock right out of my mouth. We're all going to die, so get those cocks out of your mouth.
Yeah, or don't, you know what I mean? Kinda.
But anyway, she has...
in your mouth, you know
she's
what I mean?
Talking about a lot of very graphic stuff, but it's almost like you're listening to... it's almost like it's Emily Bronte talking about it. It's fascinating.
It is.
Yeah, because... She's great. She's a great writer.
Yep.
You took very good care of her. I mean, that's you. You did a good job.
Thank you.
And I'm sure that means a lot coming from me.
Okay. Yeah, no, I actually...
Sorry, I just had to put that
listen,
in. I'm just... Because you wouldn't say it, so... But I mean, there's no higher praise.
No, I mean, like, to hear that from you... Like, in this moment? Like,
man, you're good.
Are you fucking kidding me? You write all those reviews on Criterion? Criterion Conan? Telling me that shit is good?
That's right. Criterion Conan.
Criterion Conan.
There's no better guy to get a compliment from.
Yeah, no, but genuinely, hopefully your people... Are they followers? Is it a cult?
It's a cult.
It's a cult.
Yeah. I have certain, as the cult leader, I have certain privileges.
Yeah, so I'm glad you officially endorsed it. you know, remember that when you click on the special on Netflix, it's really about a completion, right? That's how they sort of do it, the streamers. So just let it play all the way. That's how the algorithm works. Just watch
spoken
it.
Spoken like a true artist.
watch it fast and often.
Natasha.
Yes, sir.
There's no one like you. I've looked. Mm. I can't find another Natasha Lyonne. There just aren't any. So thank you for coming here and sharing your brain with us. That's so cool.
Thank you for saying that I have one. I appreciate it coming from you, sir. Genuinely.
God bless.
God bless and good night. Yeah.
You know, it's only a matter of time until your check engine light comes on, which could equal an expensive repair bill, and a new engine can cost up to $6,000.
Don't I know it?
But this is why you need this product I'm about to mention right now.
Okay.
CarShield. Mm. CarShield offers plans with low monthly rates that you can pay for your expensive repairs on your out-of-warranty car, truck, or SUV. It's so nice to have that protection of CarShield.
I know.
I believe. That's my belief. Some people have other beliefs, maybe religious beliefs. I think CarShield. CarShield plans provide protection on up to 5,000 major parts and systems, including items like transmission, engine, even your entertainment system. Mm. Just call CarShield and choose the mechanic to do the work. CarShield administrators will handle the rest and save you money. Look, I saw your car today. You've got a beautiful car, but you've got to haul your family around in this car. This is a vital piece of machinery for you. You need CarShield.
I do. And, you know, I don't take care of my cars very well. So CarShield, it would definitely come in.
You know, and also with their A rating from the BBB, don't ask me, CarShield is the name you can trust to save you money on covered auto repairs. Now's the time to make the smart choice to protect yourself from the sky-high auto repair bills. Visit CarShield.com/Conan. Save 20% today. Again, that's CarShield.com/Conan to save 20%. Visit carshield.com/Conan to lock in your price today. I gotta say, everywhere I go, people are talking about Monopoly Go. And for good reason. It's an absolute hit.
Yeah. I love Monopoly.
People love Monopoly. And look, Monopoly's been around for a very long time. It's one of the oldest board games ever, okay?
Okay.
But lately I walk around and I just hear like, Monopoly Go, Monopoly Go, Monopoly Go. And I'm like, hey, what's going on? What are you guys talking about? And they say, we're playing Monopoly Go. You can play it with your family, your friends. It's a straight delight. There's always something new to do. Partner events where you can build on each other's boards and crazy tournaments with team events you can recruit your friends for, or you can just compete to outdo them all on the leaderboards. Mm. And when you're not messing with your family and friends, Monopoly Go is always throwing new stuff at you. They have taken Monopoly to the next level. I didn't think Monopoly had to go to the next level, but they did. There's timed events like massive multipliers for all your winnings and challenges like treasure hunts and or money sprees that have fun new mini games. Plus, with tons of rewards to collect, like stickers for trading with friends and hilarious emojis that are perfect for gloating, there's always a reason to dip back in.
Yeah.
Man, they cracked it, you know?
They did.
So join the fun. Download Monopoly Go now free on the App Store and Google Play.
Hey, let's do a voicemail.
I agree. Voicemail sounds like a good idea. And hey, if you want to send us a voicemail, just call us. Give us your thoughts. 669-587-2847. That number again, 669-587-2847. We'd like to hear your thoughts, and we'd like to reply.
Eduardo, you are go.
Hi, my name is Ray. I am calling from the great state of North Kakalaki. There's a recurring character on the podcast, our late great president, or not so great president, Richard Nixon. He's probably one of the most common recurring characters. My question to Conan is, what is the humor in Richard Nixon for you? I would be fascinated to know.
This is a very good question. You know, people always talk about when they were born. Really, what's more significant is you have to add like 7 years to that because that's when you really come of age. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
So there's this, you know, I'm born in 1963, and then there's a bunch of years there where they're just shoving ham into me, and I'm slowly growing, and my brothers are kicking me and slapping me, and you know, I'm in that sort of state of chaos, and then I kind of start to wake up and slowly realize things around 1968, 69. And the character who fascinates me is this guy, Richard Nixon, who, gets elected in 68. And so he's the president. And so I was always interested in presidential history and the president. And I just know that he inspires a lot of comedy. And my parents, to get us to go to sleep at night, used to play us comedy records. And these records were made by a guy named David Fry, who would make these whole albums, and he did a funny Richard Nixon impression, and he would play out all these scenarios. And I think there were four albums, and my parents had them all to get us to go to sleep at night, because my brothers and I were rambunctious, and we had two sisters too. We were all on the same floor. My mom would just put a comedy album on in the center of the hallway, and we would all listen to it as we went to sleep. So I would go to sleep listening to this guy doing these crazy Richard Nixon sketches.
Coming from out in the hall?
Coming from out in the hall. Our rooms were all, you know, sort of right around that central hallway. So you had the doors open so you could listen.
But that's so eerie, thinking like Nixon is just floating around in
the Nixon hallway. Also did hang out in our hallway. Yeah, which was also confusing.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I grew up with Nixon as, I am not a crook. And there were all these impressions, and every comedian was doing Nixon material. So you got to imagine he's just this formidable. He's not just the president of the United States, but also felt like kind of a comedy figure to me, like a Bugs Bunny cartoon. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's in my core DNA. And then all these years later, we'll just be babbling, and suddenly Nixon just comes out to make an appearance.
Yeah.
And I have to credit this this comedian, impressionist, David Fry, and also just President Nixon himself, who no one did a better Nixon impression than President Richard Milhouse Nixon.
Yeah.
So yeah, I do think that's just coming from me. That's coming. And also, I think there are probably a lot of people. I remember when I worked at The Simpsons, there were these two writers, Oakley and Weinstein, very funny, talented writers. And I went into their office once, and they had grown up in the D.C. area. And they were a couple of years younger than me. But they had a giant, the way other people have posters of rock stars, They had posters of all the Watergate conspirators.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Hanging
that's
up on amazing. Their wall. And I'd go in and go, what? And they'd go like, oh yeah, no. And it was like flow charts of who was who. And it was almost like, who's your favorite of the burglars? And now what about the lawyers? You know, are you a Haldeman guy or an Ehrlichman guy? And it was just hilarious. I mean, they knew it was funny, but it was just such a funny thing to joke about. So yes, all, things burble up from deep within my psyche. And I don't even understand why. But now that this person has called in Ray, and brought it up, I'm remembering listening to these records and thinking, this is all seeped into my brain as I'm falling asleep every night.
Sona, do you have a Nixon impression?
No.
Would you like to?
No, I'm good.
Couldn't you try?
No.
Come on, just say, I am not a crook.
I'm not a crook.
What? Oh, that's post-stroke Nixon.
Let me just be here.
Okay. Okay, I'll get your check for the podcast.
Yeah, thank you.
Here it is.
I have actually zero to add to this conversation.
No, no, here you go.
I don't know what the
good
fuck you guys want me to say.
No, no, it's fine.
I didn't grow up during Nixon. I have no fucking idea.
Listen, if you had grown up.
I do not know how to add
That's
to
your
it.
Check.
Thank you very much.
There you
I
go.
I have nothing to add. It is
the
fascinating.
Hey, let me just be here. All right? Oh, and by the way. I think it's time for a raise.
Yeah.
I think it's a little something extra in my paycheck. Okay, well, do you mind if maybe you could just give us a little Nixon? Fuck you!
Pay me. Fuck you, pay me.
What?
Fuck
you, pay I don't me. Know what to do. I don't do impressions.
What?
But okay.
I hired you for your impressions.
Yeah. No, I don't do impressions.
Do your French guy.
Don't make me do these.
Come
now.
On, French guy.
Ugh. I don't know why the cigarette always comes up. From Paris, I drive around the baguette in my bicyclette.
That's why when I saw that, I thought she does impressions.
She's got that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
I like your first guy was just a French guy orgasming.
You mean a French guy?
All right.
What?
French guy biting into a baguette. All right. I think we answered that question.
Yeah. Clearly.
Yeah. Nixon, man. Keep the dream alive.
Yeah.
Nixon 2024.
Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, with Conan O'Brien, Sona Movsesian, and Matt Gourley. Produced by me, Matt Gourley. Executive produced by Adam Sachs, Nick Liao, and Jeff Ross at Team Coco, and Colin Anderson and Cody Fisher at Earwolf. Theme song by The White Stripes. Incidental music by Jimmy Vivino. Take it away, Jimmy. Our supervising producer is Aaron Blair, and our associate talent producer is Jennifer Samples. Engineering and mixing by Eduardo Perez and Brendan Burns. Additional production support by Mars Melnick. Talent booking by Paula Davis, Gina Batista, and Britt Kahn. You can rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts, and you might find your review read on a future episode. Got a question for Conan? Call the Team Coco hotline at 669-587-2847 and leave a message. It too could be featured on a future episode. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend wherever fine podcasts are downloaded.
I love my cat, Tiger. And as my best friend, we speak our own language. What's that? You love your litter. He does, because I use Fresh Step Outstretch litter. It absorbs 50% more waste and odor and requires less changing compared to Fresh Step Multicat. Less changing means more time playing. Right, Tiger? That's a yes. Find Fresh Step Outstretch cat litter in the pet aisle. Fresh Step is a registered trademark of the Clorox Pet Products Company. Certain trademarks used under license from the Procter & Gamble Company or its affiliates.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.